1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Alistair, before we start the podcast, I have some really exciting breaking Andy's financial situation news. I realize we haven't talked about my financial situation for a long time on the show, but just as we were about to hit record, you will know this, Alistair, I got a call from the mechanic telling me that my car that my entire family needs to drive in and my new baby needs to ride in, my baby is arriving next week, my car is broken and will cost more to fix than the car is worth in money.
Andy, I thought you were going to have another announcement and that I could then make fun of your financial problems, you know, by undercutting your wonderful announcement. But the fact that now you make fun of yourself with your own financial problems is a wonderful thing.
I think for a long time I've been making fun of myself by the way I get into these situations. And
that's true.
I'm just trying to take back control of the narrative.
Well, that's great, Andy. Yeah,
it's the only thing that I can take control of now that my car is no longer on the road.
You're taking back the term "poor loser."
All right, Alistair, you got any announcements?
You could buy tickets to my comedy festival show.
See, that's great.
Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Check it out on Google.
And if you buy tickets to Alistair's comedy festival show, then maybe he will, next time we catch up, offer to pay for the coffees. And that, in turn, feeds back into me and helps me in my financial situation. So every little bit counts.
And this has been another mini episode of Andy's financial problems right before we go into the Two in a Think Tank. You ready?
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
I'm Alistair George William Trombley Virtual. And Andy, for the first time, I think both of our music inputs, I think were in the same style. They were both in the same tone and style. they both had a kind of like, you know, 80s, 70s kind of synth vibe.
Yeah, okay.
Synth-funk, maybe.
Yeah, I've been listening to a bit of The Weeknd recently, and he's got a bit of that influence in some of his music, I think.
That's great. I didn't know you were a big Weeknd fan.
Remy's, our youngest son, his favorite song, our current youngest son, the incumbent youngest son, is a song called Starboy.
Starboy?
Yeah, includes a lot of words that I'm not completely sure our son should be enjoying in a song. But that's okay. He doesn't know what they mean.
Well, my child, who is 7, watches a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race with Indiana.
Yes.
And so Otis's big thing now is I'm saying like, hey, Otis, okay, I'm going to go to a gig. Otis says, okay, see you, Daddy. And before you go, don't fuck it up. All right. I feel comfortable about this. Yeah, I feel very comfortable about this.
I mean, that's actually pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
I bet that actually makes you feel, puts a spring in your step.
It does actually put some a spring, if not at least one of those sort of blades that you put on somebody who doesn't have legs. You know, one of those running blades.
Yeah.
It's a shame they call them a blade.
Oscar Pistorius.
The Oscar Pistorius style running leg blades. But it is a shame that they call them a blade because I, of course, bought one on AliExpress thinking I could use it to chop up my vegetables. And I tell you what, the day that I had a disability advocate over for dinner, boy, was my face red.
um Alistair, a common, like, we're not doing it so much anymore, but back in the era when, you know, internet comedy was things X say or things X don't say, right? Mm. Remember that?
Yeah.
There was also a lot of stuff that was like, let's take a child's conversation and have it spoken by adults, or let's get kids and get them to talk like they're having an adult, pretend like they're having a business meeting, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think we should bring that back. I think that was a really fun and exciting time in comedy, and I'm sad that that wave has broken.
So I think we should come up
with some new twists on that. Like, what are some different ages that we could do? What if we got a conversation, right? We record a conversation. It's 60-year-olds talking, but then we get that acted out by 95-year-olds.
I mean, I think, that could be very good. And they go, I'm thinking about retiring, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But Jimmy's just finishing high school. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
How
late father, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. You're right. That is a very late father. I was like, is that what normally happens? But I don't think that's the case. Because I guess if you're a 30-year-old and then your kid turns 30, but then why is your kid finishing high school at 30?
That just raises more questions.
Yeah, but then I guess, but Andy, you know, let's say somebody was almost 40 and about to have a kid. Let's say then when their kid finishes at 18, you're sort of almost 58.
Yeah, I guess in that hypothetical scenario, I could imagine that. That's actually scaring me a fair bit, Alistair. That's making me feel, I'm going to say, quite bad. So you take that back. you take that back.
You take that back what I did. You take that back what I did.
You take that back, that accurate description of events. That mathematically true statement.
You take that back what I did. Is there a sketch in that? Is there a sketch in that? I don't know. Somebody getting upset and saying, you take that back.
Somebody doing mathematics, somebody adding two numbers together and the other person saying, you take that back.
You take that back. But I hate the number two, but... Yeah. You realize that you and I, you're one and I'm one, and together we're two. So you take that back. I'm never going to be two.
What about this? You know, they say facts don't care about your feelings. Maths doesn't care about your feelings. What about we invent a new kind of maths that does care about your feelings?
Mm. Oh, see, that is nice. Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing is actually nothing except for people, except for some people that do care about your feelings, right? Rocks don't care about your feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Sky doesn't care about your feelings.
But
it looks like it does because it's crying, because it sometimes seems like it's crying.
The sky.
The sky. Yeah.
Well, your feelings definitely care about the sky. But I don't know if it goes the other way. The sky might be a psychopath.
So I do like, sorry, Andy, I do like the idea of a maths that does care about, or facts, maths or facts. That care about your feelings.
Care about your feelings. You know, it could be a new Wikipedia where when you go to Wikipedia, you tell it how you're feeling, and then it gives you the news, the facts. Does a little survey. Maybe you talk and it analyzes your voice and your mood. Or it is I feel like, you know, was it Nash, the Beautiful Mind guy? He came up with... up with new kind of mathsy kind of things. We could do one with that, where a guy's coming up with new maths that does care about your feelings. This is not a good description of anything. This is terrible.
Yeah, but
thing. What if we came up with a different thing?
Yeah. But there's probably a way that you could. I mean, because this does feel like, you know, there's definitely a joke in there, especially if you're giving let's say you're performing this on stage and you're sort of just giving a long description of this thing. And then you go at the end, you go, and what you have there is a fact that does care about your feelings.
It's got a structure to it. We've come up with a good structure. That's a good bit of closure at the end there. This would be another good right-wing sketch. which we are also good at coming up with occasionally.
Oh, yeah. The other day, I was kind of pitching stuff the other day at work, and I was like, and then somebody went, I think that's from the wrong angle. And I went, oh, yeah, you're probably right. I don't really know anymore.
What was the point? What were you trying to,
kill them all.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's a friend of mine, Melissa McLenzie, who's doing this show at Comedy Festival, where she's Sarah Huckabee Sanders, is currently reading Sarah Huckabee Sanders's autobiography. Mm. And the first chapter is called Kill 'Em All.
Wow.
I mean, I was like, I don't even know what context in which that would be...
okay.
You know, okay. Yeah.
That's a really strong start.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like anything. You want to, kids these days, you've got to drop them in the middle of the action. You know, they got to start, you get their attention. And I think that's it. That's the equivalent of starting in a fight scene, that chapter heading.
Maybe it's about wild boar and stuff like that. You know, hogs and pigs.
Could be about
hogs. That's a big thing. Yeah. She is from Arkansas, so she might have seen some pigs. as she was starting to write, you know, often people write near a window.
Yeah, I can saw some pigs.
Are you spelling that? I. Space can s space s a w.
Yeah, well, although I'm actually spelling it s e e c, I can see, but I'm pronouncing seesaw. So
seesaw.
Yeah, seesaw. I'm pronouncing seesaw.
Seesaw. Here I go. Seesaw. There we go.
This is where are we going with any of this?
Andy, I'm not sure. I can't remember where we were going because I derailed us.
Kill them all.
It was starting because me starting talking about right wing, accidentally pitching right wing comedy. Mm. That's right. That's what
Well, when you were describing her reading that book, I thought where it was going to go with was, and she makes a lot of good points. She's starting to really connect with her and understand where she's coming from.
Yeah.
But that isn't where you went with it. I appreciate that. It was very much a different direction.
Yeah, I like choosing a few different directions, which I use on my which I always pick using my comedy compass. And so I tell a joke to it, and that joke induces a magnetic field that tells me whether or not it is. You see, this is because I keep making this mistake, so I've had to get this comedy compass, and it now tells me whether or not my joke is going left or right or bang up the middle.
Bang up the middle. Centrist.
Yeah.
Centrist comedy.
And the northern joke.
Because,
Of course, left is west and east is right.
Yes, of course. Hang on. What about this? I don't know if this is a comedy concept, but it could be a horror concept,
right?
What about this? It's some kind of a movie or something, some sort of media, some form of media in which the gist is we've got rid of the death penalty and now the punishment for people who do unspeakable crimes is that they are not allowed to die, right? And we keep them alive as they get older and older and older, right? Like I assume they still age. Maybe they don't age. That's a slightly different thing. But like that we basically refuse to let them die, and they just sort of decay and get in more pain and suffering. It's awful. It's awful. I'm so sorry.
You're kind of describing modern society.
But this is now as a form of punishment for the crimes that we've done.
Yeah.
Right? Now, is there any way to turn that into something funny as opposed to awful?
No, I mean, right? I... Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's see.
Like, what if Groundhog Day, right? Yeah. But it is a punishment for something he's done wrong, right? Because he obviously gets very unhappy at a certain point in that. And, you know, he's having a bad time.
For punishments, okay. So he's, yeah. I mean, the eternity of having to relive, like, the same hour or, that would be true. The same 5 minutes?
What if you were at a party, right? You're at a party and you're having these, you know, awkward conversations with people. There are people there that you don't like. You're trying to leave, right? You keep trying to leave the party, but you can't for whatever reason. And you've been there. You start to ask yourself, like, how long have I been at this party? And you try and remember arriving at the party. You realize you can't remember arriving at the party.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't leave the party. And you slowly, over time, realize that you are in hell, right? Mm. This is – you are suffering some kind of eternal punishment. Like, maybe I've always been at this party. What have I done? And you try and work it out.
Yeah.
You know, in theory, it should be a good time, right, because it's a party. But this awful realization that that's not – I think this would be a great film.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
Where at some point you go, I don't remember coming to this party. It's like, oh, dude, you've just had too much whatever you've had.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, you know, I guess you've got that great ending, right? You end it where you don't reveal. Like, maybe the person does something crazy and attacks somebody or kills them, jumps out a window or whatever, and you don't reveal whether or not they actually what the truth was, whether or not they actually were in hell or not. And that's what art is. That's how you make people think something is clever. You don't, you end it just at that moment where you don't reveal the actual truth. You're allowed to know, but you don't tell anybody.
How deep into a party that you're at for eternity before, before everybody realizes. But I think what happens is that because let's say you're at the beginning of the party and somebody is freaking out, right?
Mm.
And then, but the kind of main character is like, oh, geez, somebody said too much or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's not until 15 minutes later or whatever into the movie or half an hour later, this person realizes that they don't remember how they got to the party and how long they've been there for. Right.
Yes.
But then then they eventually go through their sort of freak out arc of realization and stuff. Mm. But then maybe they do jump out of the window, right? But then they wind up back in the party.
Mm.
Either they don't remember how they got there again, or they just end up back in there. And so at some point, because you would realize that if one person was realizing and then yelling, and then all the other ones would realize that at some point it would just kind of all come crashing down, and then it wouldn't be a party anymore. But at some point, people might have to lean into acceptance that they're at a party and actually this is a fun time and they may as well
it's a question of whether or not the other people who are at the party are real people or whether or not they are just some part of the experience. They're demons. Well, they're in some way there to torment you, or maybe they're all just versions of the same person at different stages of their own.
But there is something interesting about the concept of eternity and also your own mental state that in order to get through anything, you've probably got to, instead of freaking out, you probably do have to just go with it.
Mm.
And maybe we're picturing that it would be really hard because you're just picturing getting tired really early. You go, I can't possibly party anymore. I can't have any more fun.
This is accurate.
Yeah.
This is accurate.
You know, I mean, you picture going to a party as already being something bad.
That's right. I walk in through the front door and I'm already like, is this hell? Am I in hell?
I don't remember how I got here. How am I ever going to get out? And you jump out the window. You just walk in the front door straight to the window.
Straight out the window.
Oh, thank God I broke my legs.
You call this movie Till Death Do Us Party.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, if it were to be that, it would have to be a wedding reception or something to make the wedding pun have meaning. I'm sure there are a billion albums by punk bands called Till Death Do Us Party. It's the worst and lamest name in the world, and I apologize. But it's locked in.
It's locked in. I've already signed the deal with MGM.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and
I'm attached. I like how when they're talking about movies, they talk about somebody being attached to it. Yeah. I picture them suckering on like one of those fish, like a remora,
like one of those ones that suctions to the glass.
Yeah, yeah. I think they also suck onto sharks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
I wonder if it'd be good to have one of those for us. You know, like,
yeah,
just like a suction animal of some sort that suctions onto us, and then maybe like instead of having to shower all the time, something that
you
kind
of scrape them off.
Like no, but they go around, they clean you up. They love whatever you're shedding. They want, right? So they're
yeah.
So that, you know, dead skin cells, dirt, sweat, like that. They get in there, they lick under your armpits, they clean them up.
Are they licking you? Is it like a sort of they're cleaning you with their tongues?
Yeah, something. Yeah, I would say that there's some of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. I think
I picture it as a little monkey.
Yeah, right. Okay, I picture it as a pink, you know, it's pink and fleshy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but maybe that's that's too sexual or something, or a bit too human.
It as like a vagina, kind of like a revolver type situation. That sort of
I guess I was picturing more phallic actually, because I guess I'm just picturing a version of those fish that cling onto the sharks.
Yeah, sure.
But. You know, I think a macro parasite for humans would be really interesting.
I'm writing little macro parasite.
Right.
Creature.
Why would you write little macro parasite?
Well, because I've already written.
The whole point of it is that it's supposed to be large.
I know. That's why I mentioned it to you, because of the contradiction. But I'd already written the word little. And then I thought macroparasite does sound good. So then I've added creature as well, because so that we don't think that it's just like a parasite. It makes you think of single celled organisms. I mean, unless it's a large single celled organism. But I think that
what about a go on.
I mean, I think I like those fish things, because they actually do probably put their whole suction cup mouth into your armpit and just, and then kind of just like completely clean up the whole area like that.
How do you feel about this? A parasite that is bigger than you, right? It's larger than you are. You can't remove it for whatever reason. And so, you know, maybe it floats along, it's full of gas, or maybe it rolls along. It doesn't slow you down necessarily, but it does make it harder to get into spaces. I guess you got to have bigger doors or whatever. But like it's a huge parasite. It wraps parts of its tendrils around your nervous system so that it's impossible to remove it without killing you. And then just everybody has these things that are attached to them.
Yeah, I mean, you could imagine in a situation where everything, you know, ecosystems start collapsing, that you might have to create little microclimates, microbiomes around yourself, and something that involves like a large kind of oozy kind of, you know, creature that provides.
Well, I mean, this is quite similar to what we had. Is this like last week where we had gunk? We had some sort of goo, like that we were squirting into filling in the gaps in ecosystems.
No. That was covering everything to just preserve it. Whereas this is now something that we carry with us. Because remember, humans had left Earth, and while we tried to just find a way to save it, whereas this one we're choosing to stay.
Right.
But we have to then kind of be covered in sort of various macro parasites, and kind of like it's almost like a type of soft coral that can go around you. And
what about this? It's like a sort of a living terrarium thing. It's a, you know, it's a fleshy globe shaped blob. So it's the world is uninhabitable, but what we have is we've created these things, and there is a little ecosystem inside this sort of living blob, right? Yeah. And that is attached to you and to your lungs and to your, you know, to your waist, your genitals and your bum hole, yeah. Right? And so now, instead of having a big world that supports us all as a group, it's this future in which individuals are able to have, you know, individual responsibility. Okay, it doesn't make sense that the Earth should provide oxygen for everybody. If you want to be alive, you should have your own fleshy symbiote that has, you know, weird bacteria and stuff inside it that filters and produces oxygen and all that kind of thing. And you drag it around.
Yeah. And when you go to like a restaurant or something like that, or like any kind of food place, they don't give you food because your symbiote blob offers you food.
Provides you with that
stuff. What they do is they offer you different spores that can go in there and kind of compete with the others, which might change the flavor of certain, you know, of the food that you get in. Through your nostrils or with it, you know, or whatever it is, you know, it just kind of helps balance your biome, allows you to for the spores you consume to be slightly different, you know.
Yeah. Maybe they also have a big lamp that you can put your biome under so that it can get some more energy to photosynthesize and produce more whatever.
So you're just kind of like breathing in this thing, and then and then it just turns your CO2 into oxygen and things
like that.
Yeah,
I guess it has
hyper plants.
I imagine it having weird little fleshy finger-type legs all over the bottom of it, and it scuttles along next to you.
Yeah, I could picture it kind of rolling a little bit, you know, rolling with
rolling,
that. Like, you know,
Instead
of a rolling ooze as well. You know, I mean, I think each person is going to have their own versions. This is going to be a very deep into the sort of the bioengineering world when we accept a lot more wetware. And, you know, not just for its processing abilities, but also for the way in which it can, you know, be better than a wheel and things like that. I mean, essentially, you're kind of wearing a beanbag.
That's right.
A beanbag that might even be dragging along the ground. And and then, but it's teaching it to move out of the way when you want to consummate a relationship with your beloved, you know. You know, I mean, at some point, I guess we could train these things to get these things, or maybe you just keep your genitals in a little test tube kind of thing. You know, underpants become a little test tube area where you go, oh, I can't allow the creature, the symbiote, to go over that area, even though it wants to. It's always trying to get in there. you go, no, that's only for my beloved.
Yeah. Great. You push the symbiote out of the way so that you can shove your test tubes together.
Yeah, you kind of have to create a little airlock between you and your beloved before you make love. Make the love.
The love. The making love. Of the love.
The making of all the love.
Yeah, I mean, that's horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, at some point we gotta do it. Now, do you think, I was just looking up before, well, actually, between when we first spoke on the phone and then you got that phone call telling you that you're in the hole another $5,000.
Yeah.
Or no, you would be if you were to choose to fix your car that you can't afford to. But, you know, you're going to just you're just going to stay out on your campsite, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think
just tell your beloved.
Have to make the choice.
It looks like it's going to be a home birth, hun. I'll prepare some hot water and towels.
We're going to shelter in place, honey.
That's right. I'm going to barricade the windows. Oh, it's not a hurricane. Mm. I know, but I'm going to do it anyway. I need something to do right now. I'm a bit stressed.
Yeah.
But while you were taking your phone call, I started looking up how many salt lakes there are. Don't you think we should, like, has anyone ever considered we just refill all the salt lakes with ocean water?
As a way to reduce the water levels?
Yeah, I don't know I don't know how much of a big dent it will make in terms of the ocean levels, but would it help the land for there to be
somehow?
But wouldn't it help the land in some way for there to be more water around?
I don't know if it helps if it's salt water. I don't know what that achieves.
But I mean, yeah, it only that the salt water will only be salt water on the salt flat. Or, you know, on the salt lake, right? Which it already is salty, and so that's already fucked, right?
That's fine.
So it's the other part where then it gets evaporated and then it falls and things like that. I mean, the whole center of our country is desert and things like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they can track individual... do they know where the evaporation... Like, I don't know. If you put... water in the middle of Australia. I don't know if the rain would then fall where you want it to, or does it, you know, evaporate there and then fall somewhere else?
I mean, that's a possibility.
Because the air's moving.
I mean,
the air masses are moving.
There's also just going to be more water in the air.
In the air, that's true, and maybe that will help.
There's some
more
creatures
precipitation.
There's some creatures that, some plants that like live off of just the fog in the mountain fog and things like that, like the moisture from.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The mountain fog. So that there is, you know, things like that. Anyway,
mountain
I just think
dew.
Mountain dew. They live off of mountain dew. Dew. Mountain dew. Dew. I can't say it like that. Dew. It's so funny when people say, it's so funny when people say, they say Putin's name, Putin. it really is like a quite a like a. I mean, I don't want to protect this guy in any way. But
no?
I don't think his name is Putin. Putin.
That's okay. I don't think that counts as protecting him. I don't think you are apologizing for anything that he's done or saying that he's right.
I don't think he's right.
NATO started the war in Ukraine, which so many people on Twitter are saying. And it just feels like transparent Russian propaganda. Like, I know that we also are exposed to propaganda in the West. Absolutely. But just this one, like, I'm like... Yeah. Anyway, I feel like I'm pretty sure that Russia started the war. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I'm with you, Ed. But that said, Putin.
Yeah. No. Yeah. On that one, I'm with you. I'm completely.
On that,
with
I'm
you.
On Russia's side.
Yes.
But everything else, I'm on.
I'm a big supporter of Putin. Just the pronunciation, not the person, but the Putin pronunciation.
Maybe it's too late. I've already clipped that out and put it on Twitter.
Yeah, okay.
This is Andy Matthews.
Finally. Oh, I could get cancelled.
I know, but Andy, once you get cancelled, you get access to the other audience. The dark audience, which is an audience who want to see people only because they've been canceled. And then they go, I have so much disposable income for people who have been canceled. Right, that.
It's true. You go to the cancel-verse, right? You travel through a portal into the world of those who have been canceled, this shadowy afterlife.
And then
which also happens at the same time as regular life and also you're able to get a lot of media attention. You're able to get on television in Australia talking about how you were cancelled, which is crazy because it's so hard to do that otherwise.
Yeah, and then the thing is that you don't have to, actually develop any new material because it's the conservative side. They try to conserve the same jokes, right? And so they
that's the whole point.
The whole point. And so they want you to say, they want you to go out there and they want you to say, it's outrageous, all of this woke culture like that. And then they'll cheer and whoop and probably laugh because they're actually way more supportive than the other audiences.
Give us the old gear. That's exactly what they want. Yeah. Nothing new, please. Same old, same old.
Just hit me with it. All right. This woke culture is bullshit. Woo! Woo! Yeah! They have never been happier. I mean, could you even imagine just being at that Roseanne show? That one, do you see the clip of her doing stand-up? You go,
No.
It's just like Fox News started doing comedy specials. And all it is just somebody who's way too angry. You know, like she's angry with her own children, I guess, it seems like, from her thing. And they're just like, you never had to struggle, blah, blah, blah. You know, my pronouns are kiss my ass, get a job, or whatever it was, right? You know, and that's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Not the kids. I don't think that's what her kids are there for, but.
Imagine if your pronouns were get a job. How does that work?
That is actually quite. You think saying they is difficult. So we've got a new employee, and get a job is from television, and get a job has had a bit of time off due to. due to being cancelled, and get a job is a bit angry about that still. And so we're going to be a little bit careful around get a job.
If you have been cancelled, I mean, how long do you think until we on the left consider that people who have been cancelled are viable subjects to have their organs harvested to, you know, to support the people who haven't been cancelled? You know, it could be that if we defeat death, right, we find a way to make people live forever.
Oh, man, I want that so bad.
Being cancelled will be the new kind of death. That'll take the role of death, right?
Sure.
And then I guess...
having a conservative audience, that's going to hell.
Yes. And that is the afterlife, you know, appearing on that kind of right-wing circuit is, you know, that's your body decomposing and returning to the earth. And I mean, if we are living in the, I don't think I could even try and explain what I was thinking about then.
That's what makes it more interesting, I think.
Well, okay. So, like, what if that is already what's happened, right? Yeah. And people who die, right, on some level, the way the universe, the reality that we can't perceive, right, is that death, because we're just living in a simulation created by our own brains, right? What if the reality that we are living in is one in which there is no death, there is cancel culture, and what we perceive as bodies degrading and dying, stopping to function, is actually just a representation in our minds of a deeper reality, which is that these people are being cancelled, right? By woke reality, by... woke entropy by whatever it is. Yeah. So that what that would mean is that when we think we hear ghosts or people think they see ghosts, those are just that person's continued career in a sort of a metaphysical right-wing media sphere, okay?
Right.
So there's all of this stuff, that what we think constitutes life and death is in fact just our brain's representation of the media careers of an organism that we are just a projection of existing in a completely different reality.
It's beautiful, Andy. There's a version of that. What's that Nicole Kidman movie where she's the twist is that she's a ghost? Is that
a Nicole Kidman movie?
Yeah.
Isn't that The Sixth Sense?
No.
One with a Nicole Kidman as a ghost. Is that The Others?
So she's in a house and with her kids. So then she thinks the house is haunted.
But she's the ghost. That's a great twist.
At the end, it turns out that she's the ghost, right? And that they had actually died. But it's that, but... the twist is that at the end you find out that they've actually been cancelled, and they live,
and that's why no one can hear them or listen to them.
Yeah,
and they're writing horrible things on the walls in blood, but that's the only way that they can get their message across and be heard by the mainstream.
Yeah, that's right. Hang on. Sorry.
I guess in my one, everything that we think is our existence is actually just a metaphorical representation of something occurring in a plane. So rather than us being a projection onto, you know, four dimensions of an, you know, 11-dimensional reality, what we are is a metaphorical description of a socio-political dynamic for creatures vastly more complex and difficult to understand than ourselves. Imagine that. Imagine if we're just metaphors, Alistair.
Well,
how would we prove that?
I was looking at this because yesterday I was trying to write a joke, and obviously I'm going to start looking at stuff to do with how, because like I think the Nobel Prize for Physics this year went to the people who've basically shown that the universe is non-local, is not locally real.
Right. I love that. I didn't know that, but that's incredible. And feels so, like you shouldn't be allowed to prove that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
It's too disturbing.
So
essentially the idea that things that like a tomato, when you're not looking at it, when it isn't being observed, doesn't exist.
They've proven that?
I think that's what.
So babies were right about object permanence then.
Yeah, actually.
I'd like to apologize to babies.
Oh my God, because that means that actually babies aren't learning something that's there. They're having to learn a correction.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like, and so me trying to write a joke about what is the purpose of existence and then saying, well, basically, it seems like current physics is stating that actually things don't exist. we create them in our mind, right? And that includes all things, rocks and people, and including the concept of purpose. And so we have to ask, well, why did we create purpose?
This is a real nightmare.
I don't know.
Only do we have to create our own purpose, we have to create a reason to create a purpose. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing
for purposes.
The whole thing seems to me like it's a we live in some much more difficult to understand kind of universe in some way that we're, it's probably encoded on the edge of a black hole or something like that.
Okay. Right?
Remember how like all the information is supposed to be encoded on the surface of something? It's got something to do like that, right? And we're like a 5D projection on a 2-3D surface or whatever it is, those kinds of things. And so we can't possibly understand what that coding looks like on the edge of a circle. But the way that we manifest the universe is in a way so that it is understandable so that we can get around and do things. And probably our interpretation of the universe is something that has evolved over time. And it's the model for how we see the world is probably a big part of evolution and why a certain... Maybe that's why we beat... That's why we beat Neanderthals. There's just something different in how we perceive, like, because or else why did we beat them? They probably just hung out in smaller groups, and we were more mean. But,
we had sex with them and took their DNA.
We took all their good bits, the big Neanderthal brow, so that you could keep some sun out of your eyes.
Yeah,
and have nice to wear visor. A baseball cap. Well, we still do. That's the thing. As a nod to our non-Neanderthalic ancestry.
Yes.
Anyway, I don't know what.
What is this podcast anymore? What do we do? Two idiots try and explain their understanding of how the universe is impossible to explain or understand. This is, if anyone's listening to this, I really appreciate you and thank you very much for making us feel, giving us an excuse to say this shit.
Yeah, I think, it's just a weird thing where I'm like, I think everything is code. Everything is code. Maybe that's why in my mind I'm like, yes, it's all code, and that's why none of the stuff is really real. These are just manifestations of the code going processed through our brain. But of course, that seems silly as well. Because why would we have
this? I hope this is my plan, right? Mm. As I die, I hope I have the forethought to say, I'm being cancelled. Help.
That would be really nice, actually.
As a white man, my voice is being silenced. I hope I could get that out with my final breaths.
Yes.
Oh, it'd be great if I was being stabbed to death.
Yeah.
To say, help, I'm being cancelled.
My woke heart is killing me. My woke heart is silencing me. Sorry.
No, but the woke passage of time.
Yeah, I know. But you got to die of something. It can't just be the passage of time. But maybe you're right.
All right. Fine.
No, Andy, yours is funnier. I'm sorry.
Thank you,
Alistair.
But
I thought maybe we could go for less funny things these times. We always go for the funny one, Andy.
Yeah, all right.
Well, so now we got to go to three words from a listener, Andy, because I know we have enough universe analyzing things. And today, I don't think we've done this one. We've got, it's from Jerry Del Jaduce. I don't know if I've ever said his name.
Jerry Del Jaduce.
Jaduce. Jaduce. Jaduce.
Yes.
Jaduce. Del Jaduce. So Jerry has sent in three words from a listener. And the listener he chose this time was Jerry Del Jaduce. And he supports us on Patreon. It's very kind. And then he sent in three words that Jerry would like you to try and guess what they are.
Okay, the first word is underlay.
You know what? I bet you we've already done this because I think he sent trois mots. He sent trois mots.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that, but and then maybe he did.
I think, wasn't there a time where we both started speaking French? Trois mots? Do you know what trois mots means?
Yeah, but I don't know if it was related to that.
Okay, great.
So is it underlay?
No, it's not underlay. It's horrible.
It's a horrible
word. This word is horrible. What is it? Horrible? Yes.
That's great. what about we do a new version of Who's On First, right? But the name of the person on first base is second baseman.
Yeah, that's good.
Will that work?
yes. No, and then what right. This person on second is, it's me. It's, and the name yeah, is, it's me. No, right. It's me is the name of the person on second base.
Okay, the second word is horrible, noodle. Horrible noodle.
Noodle? No, Andy, no. It's not anything to do with food. It's hybrid.
Horrible hybrid animals. Horrible hybrid animals.
Andy, it's close. You went for fauna, but actually it's horrible hybrid.
Hyacinths?
Horticulture.
Horticulture. Horrible hybrid horticulture.
Oh,
yeah, well, you know, we know that you can graft a
I was thinking about grow plants on your back.
Tree onto a plant, yeah. Another tree onto another tree, but could you graft a human limb onto a tree?
I thought you were going to
say,
but wouldn't a branch of like from an apple tree on your back?
On your back, well, that's good as well. But yeah. For some reason, the idea of a tree with arms, with human arms, I find
well,
damn, quite
awful. To shoo the birds away. Stop eating all my cherries.
I could pluck its own apples.
Eh?
It could pluck its own apples.
Oh, yeah, it could pluck its own, and throw them, like that one in the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, do they do that?
Is that a tree in the Wizard of Oz? They throw apples at you?
I don't know. Don't remember. I don't recall. Seems likely.
Or is that in one of my sci-fi stories from Sci-Fi Try Guys? Patreon bonus.
I get those things confused all the time.
Apparently sci-fi publications are being flooded with stories now. Can you guess why?
From AI, people getting shit written by AIs. That's
suddenly people
they've
are like,
been really hoisted by their own petard, haven't they? Yeah. well.
Isn't it crazy? But like, also, I want to be an author now. I want to be a published author now. It's like, well, you're just fucking getting your this thing to write a story for you, and then you're putting your name on it. Yuck.
Yeah, that is extremely yuck. All right. This could get really messy, all this stuff with computers writing everything. I think it's going to be... I think we're in for a bit of a fucking ride, to be honest.
I think so, too. I think this and e-bikes. I don't know why. Like, both of them feel... I don't know why,
e-bikes.
But it's just the e-bike thing is just because it's like if you're riding along and then somebody rides past you because they've got electric motor helping them, there's just something that tiny bit annoying.
Okay, I was not thinking of comparing those two things, but all right.
And I think my fear is when they combine the two, somehow you're going to be riding and writing things at the same time and exerting no effort. I'm a cyclist author, like that. And then you're just riding along.
I'm a sci-ficlist.
Hey, eh?
I'm what? A sci-ficlist.
Sci-ficlist. That's very good, Andy.
I ride my electric bicycle, and I have an AI write science fiction for me at the same time.
Andy, there's a sci-fi story in that, and it'll get straight in if they can actually read through the fucking garbage. But, anyway, so what do you think about this thing about growing plants on your back or growing, you know, like growing, finding places where you could, you know, you've seen these like what are these ones that people talk about? These micro herbs or something like that, where they kind of grow, it's like they, you can just grow them indoors. They get about 2 inches high. And microgreens or whatever they're called, like that. And then they just like, oh, yeah, I grew these in my garage and I can sell them to, I can sell them to restaurants and things like that. And, you know, it's just, I've never eaten a microgreen. Have you ever eaten a microgreen?
I know. I don't even really know what you're talking about. I might have seen the word written down once or twice, but you know, I believe I'm not saying I don't believe that it's a real thing. What about? I mean, I'd quite like to see like an Island of Dr. Moreau type story in which the mad scientist is breeding plants, right? That are like a plant on top and then human legs on the bottom.
Yeah.
So you see like a tree sort of running around trying to get in the sun on its human legs. They're taking, they're cutting these things together. Maybe they're doing the opposite as well. So you see a man rooted to the spot, right? With a trunk and roots going down into the ground, but his upper body, sort of like a centaur, but with trees. And the other way around as well. I think the idea of a tree that could run around, taking itself down to the beach or whatever.
Getting some salt water in its roots.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have roots. It has human legs. It just wants to get in the sun.
I know, but you don't think that like the legs will need some kind of wooded kind of help? As a tree gets bigger and bigger, and it's just got these little human legs to carry the wood.
Yeah, I guess they bulk up. You know, they get more muscular.
That's true.
Stronger, but I also picture them sort of like how would trees deal with that kind of thing? Because we know trees are very competitive, competing for the light, trying to be the highest. I picture them also sort of kicking each other and trying to knock each other over and clambering up the fallen limbs of other trees that they've kicked down, try to get as high as possible up to the sun.
Yeah.
Be quite violent, I think.
You think it would be very violent? Yeah, I wonder. Because, I mean, if you can run, then you probably don't need to take a risk like that. But
maybe you do, maybe you don't. It depends on how crowded the situation is that you find yourself in. And maybe as the sun, as clouds cover the sun, then there's just a patch of sunlight. All the trees are racing towards it, trying to get in there. Mm. That's when it would get quite violent, I think.
Yeah,
I think this would be a very fun thing to see animated in a, maybe we could get an AI to do it for us.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
and send it into Clark's World.
Yeah, Clark's World. I didn't even know about Clark's World until I found out they were being flooded with AI-generated stories.
Yeah. I was listening to their podcast, but a lot of the sci-fi stories are just way too serious. And I get that that's what a lot of like sci-fi is, but too much emotional, than I mean, I don't even like adventure that much. But yeah, I think that's good. I think that's good. Those guys, you know, what the problem with those ones will be is that it's going to be very difficult to keep them on an island because...
Do you think they're going to swim away? Well,
I mean, a tree will float a lot of the time, won't it? The branches probably would float.
That's true.
And then they've got the kicking legs.
They can kick their way along.
Yeah.
I think if somebody successfully managed to do this, they would take over the world.
Yeah,
and that's why we shouldn't play God. Shouldn't be. I wonder if anyone is trying to do this anywhere in any labs.
Oh, yes, Triassic.
I think they
Park.
Should be stopped.
It'll be Triassic.
Very good. Not Triassic. Not the Triassic.
Not
Park.
Not Triassic.
Not to be confused with
the dinosaurs.
No, we get a lot of people coming here thinking it's Triassic Park.
No, it's
hoping
because
to see a Stegosaurus.
No, it's Triassic because it's the trees and then they've got legs, of course, and an ass.
an ass? And it's really sick. We think it's fucking
really
sick.
Awful ass. Because, you know, you ever tried to wipe an ass with a branch? I mean, what are they pooping out?
Maybe they're just farting oxygen, pure oxygen.
That could be it. That'd be beautiful. I saw a creature that is like a slug type creature that lives underwater. Kind of looks like a succulent because it's all green and kind of has those kind of cute kind of, you know, rounded kind of points like some of those succulents do. But apparently it can photosynthesize because it eats so much algae.
Yeah, I've heard about that. That's really cool.
Yeah,
I like it a lot.
I'm going to have to go through the sketch ideas, Andy. So what we got here is maths or facts that does care about your feelings. It's a new type of
I think we could get a Nobel Prize if we can invent this. I think this could be big.
Yeah, you know, it just needs to be an algorithm. Realizing, I mean, basically, we do employ that kind of maths in playing games with children and letting them win.
Yeah, that's true.
We use a type of maths that does care about their feelings. Realizing you are stuck at the party for eternity till death do us party. You know, it's a kind of hell thing. Kind of hell. Sorry, I'm just writing that down.
You're waiting. Your friend is going to give you a lift home, and that's why you can't leave, right? And they keep finding excuses to stay, and you're slowly realizing that that's what's happening.
Yeah. And then we got little macro parasite creature that suctions to your body and cleans you. Then we've got each person has a blob creature that provides air and food as a type of symbiote. Then we have enter the cancelverse. Then we have the what if get a job were your pronouns. Were Roseanne's pronouns. Then we have our existence is a metaphysical representation of a media career, and death is a canceling, and it's like in a potential side idea for that is that it's like the others, but you've been canceled.
And then that's really good. They realize at the end when that's why no one can hear them or listen to them. It's a white man. It's an old white man, and he. He thinks maybe he's a ghost, but at the end, the twist is that he isn't a ghost. He's just been cancelled.
And then we have the Sci-Ficlist, and we have the Island of Dr. Moreau, but half trees, half human.
There we go.
Well, Andy, we did it. Are you ready?
Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. We love that you did that to it. And you can buy tickets to Alistair's show. You can, email me links to affordable 6-plus seater cars.
Under $1,000. If anybody has a car
online
that could sit 6 people, and you are in Australia and you either want to just get rid of it or can take less than $1,000 for it, Andy might need it before the birth in about 6 days. So we got to get George to edit this one quickly so that we can get the word out. Right. Take care, everybody. And we love you.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.